Hi, welcome. This is Liz August. Greatest. And who won the, by the way, I just can't get over the Bob Award. Look behind her head. She's got the Bob Award there, which I just like, I see it on her website and I'm just like, I just want to keep talking about the Bob Award.
Yeah.
Which is best of business, by the way, but yes, we're calling it Bob. Liz, welcome.
Thank to you. The podcast. I'm so excited. We finally did the thing.
So, okay. So here's why I met Liz through our friend, Judy Harrington. If you listen, she's been on a couple of the podcasts already. And she said, well, you've got to meet Liz. She's amazing. She's a great virtual assistant. She's fabulous. I'm like, great. You know, I like meeting new people, like building networks. So I met Liz. And here is the moment I said, I wish I'd recorded this. We could go back to sepia tone and be like, And what happened was, is we were talking about how you help people. And you brought up the user journey and how, like, every person who comes to you, or a large number, they want to update their website and they want to update their social media and they want to update all this. And by and large, their problems are none of those things. Their problems are their user journey. And I so rarely hear people say things like that, where it's like, dude, you don't need to do any of this nonsense. Like, forget about any of this shit. This is what you need to do.
Exactly.
So I would love to, like, sort of just hear from you and your thoughts. Like, when somebody comes to you and tells you, hey, my business, and by the way, guys, we're going to talk about this more than in the context of business. Hey, my business sucks. Nobody's buying from me. I'm going to spend money on a marketer and my website and redoing. Like, what is the stuff that goes through your mind? What are the things that you wish you could be like, tell them, but you typically say very, very nicely, or don't tell them, or tell them in like the sweetest way to not hurt their feelings. What do you really want to be saying here?
What do I really want to say? So, you know, and it sucks because for SEO, I have to use the term virtual assistant because it's what people know.
Yeah.
And so business owners will wake up and they'll be like, oh, I need a virtual assistant. I'm so stressed out, blah, blah, blah. And they come and they're like, I need a new website. I need social media. I need email marketing. I need a CRM, whatever. And I'm like, actually, no, you need a user journey. And that's why if I could like shake somebody, right, who came to me and they're like, well, I just need you to do this one thing. It's like, no, you don't. And so I have to use terms like virtual assistant or online business manager just so people will understand what the hell it is that I do.
Yeah.
But virtual assistants are such a dime a dozen. You like throw a stick, you'll find one. It's fine. We're all amazing. But my biggest thing is that I attack any task with strategy first. And so when people have a strategy session with me, they're going to uncover so much in their business that the original thing that they came to, let's say it's a website, they're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah.
I need to do these 20 other things that you just mentioned. And it all centers around the user journey. I call it the customer journey, same thing.
Yeah.
But you know, it all ties in. Like, if you are not thinking about your first touch point with somebody and how that leads to the next touch point and how that leads to them becoming a client and then that leads to onboarding them and then that leads, like, if you're not thinking about that, then that first step, your website or your social media or however they found you, it's irrelevant. Like, you can't build a website unless you know your client journey, because you need to know the first step. And you can't be posting with any sort of content strategy unless you know the first touch point with you, and that's the first step in the client journey. So it really, like, I think when people start businesses, they're excited. I work with mostly creatives, and they're very excited just to serve people that they want to serve in the ways that they want to serve them. But there's so much to it to make sure that you have a successful business, and it really does stem from that experience, the journey. I know. It's so much.
You know, you said, no, there's something that you said there that, like, I think, so you talk about the touch point. So, like, you have people, you know, that a lot of times people will come and they'll say, I need to update my website. You want the website to be beautiful. And you talk about how you need to be able to know where are you taking them once they come to your website? What do they see when they scroll down once? Yeah. If they've decided to buy now, what do they do? Like, you really need to be thinking about those things, right? So that you know when you send someone to Manessa.com, or simplifyme.com, or whatever you're sending people to, you already know that the infrastructure you've put in place will guide them where they need to go. You don't need to be involved in, like,
sure.
One of the things that I think that the earliest, most embarrassing lesson I ever had was with my wife when I made my first or second website. So, like, back in the day in 1995, so you mentioned earlier that you were 37, and I'm 47, so I was here way in the early days of the internet, right? Where just having an internet website was enough, right? You have the website.
Right. So you're great. You're doing
fine. That's all you really need. I have 10,000 visitors today. Click. Oh, look, 10,001.
And you've got like the rotating. Remember the text, the rotating?
Oh my God. I loved it. I was I remember when I started learning how to do that. And like you'd go to my websites and I mean, they were assaulting your brain. Like
it was like, so much. We all like, and I was like 10 and 96 and my dad got me a computer and I'm like, coding and all that. Yeah.
Oh, so fun. That would have been around the time then. So you're also making the flashes. And
If you don't have 25 moving objects on your thing in 96, were you really doing?
Do you even really have a website?
Yeah.
Like, are you even relevant in this world?
Come on.
But, you know, now users are more sophisticated and like they want to be, they need to, and they're very quick to judge. So, and I don't mean judge like you suck, but if I don't know where to go next, I'm going to be quick to bounce off because I don't...
Our attention spans have shrunk.
Our tolerance for discomfort has shrunk, right?
Correct.
There was a time where I'd be like, oh, I don't know where to go.
Right.
Let me figure this out.
I'm done. Peace. Yeah. No, I don't have time for this. Just give me the thing that I want.
This applies more in just your website. So I'm actually, so I'm going to tell you, and this is how important the user journey is. And you said so much stuff that like, I'm actually sad that I have a 1 o'clock because I'm like, damn, we're going to need to go longer and have a second. Okay. So here's
Hour episode.
I know 4 hours later. So I was talking to someone the other day, cause like you said, the strategy is the key and I no longer do any coaching or anything like that. I just meet with people for strategy sessions. And then I say, you need Liz, you need so-and-so. And then
exactly.
So this one person that I talked to, who, by the way, I directed to you, she's local. And there was this day my wife and I wanted to go to her shop. And her shop is inside a smaller studio.
Yep.
And we went and we parked across the street from where her shop is. And my wife says, I don't think she's here. And I was like, no, she's here. And my wife's like, no, I don't think she's here. And I was like, no, she's here. And so we walk across the street. We're literally like on the same side of the block now as her thing. There's a little sandwich board outside, but it says happy holidays. And I'm walking up the stairs and it's raining and it's cold. And my wife's like, she's not here. I'm like, oh my God, she's here. So she says, the curtain was open. Everything is closed. And I'm like, I go in and I open the door and I said, look, the door is open. And she's like, yeah, but it's probably for the other shop. Like, I don't see anything in here that would indicate that she is here. Literally, I had to walk her into the room, show her this person and say, look,
she's here.
All of the things are here. And so this person and I ended up having a conversation a week or so later because she was having trouble finding clients, you know, now that the tourist season is over. Mm-hmm. And I told her this story and I said, you were open, but every step of the way I had to drag my wife there. And the only reason that I dragged her in there was because I do this for a living. So I know what I'm looking for. But your average user is not going to do as much work as I did. Your average user is going to be like my wife and say, oh, I don't think she's here. I'm going to go have a drink at Honey Baby. Right.
And this hurts me. It hurts me because there are so many incredible businesses out there and they're not getting the attention or the clients that they deserve to get. And I recently discovered that my entire mission, not just in business, but in life, is just to make people's atmospheres and surroundings and experiences more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I just wish that people didn't think it was so hard to own a business. It is. I'm not saying it's not. But it's not as hard as it seems when you get the help, that the support that's out there. And there's
you
ways,
feel like,
man.
You know, I think part of the problem is I think it's been overcomplicated over the years. So like, if I think now, you know, to say 3 years ago when I was running my coaching business, like the general philosophy was you have your mailing list. There were all these things that you needed to do. And then a lot of the coaches that did trainings, there's always something else that they are, that you're paying them for. Right. And so it's always, and so I can see, so for me, when I was first starting out and then of course, you know, I sort of started to just like you start to figure it out and you realize, oh, it's not that hard. I feel like the mess that we've added so much junk on top of things. Like, remember you had Clubhouse and you had chatbots and you had emails and you have this. And like, in the end, all of those things sound very complicated, but the actual thing that we're doing here is, hey, Liz, I met you. Let's talk.
Right.
Oh, you help with this?
Right.
I have this problem. This is so cool. And then you're walking me down the garden path to say, oh, strategy session.
Yeah.
Oh, let's book something because you can help me with this. And, but it's all about just like a normal human relationship. Like,
It is.
We've been having these relationships since we were children. And
correct.
I'm autistic, so I have trouble with relationships. But once you figure out the cadence, you're like, oh, this is how relationships happen, you can do the steps. So how do you feel like that plays in when people come to you and they're like, okay, well, do they ever say, like, that seems so simple? Like, I feel like I should be doing that. Yeah, tell me more about that.
So my strategy sessions are 60 minutes long. And I mean, I always freak out because I'm like, crap, I just unloaded so much stuff on.
Oh, I know.
And I feel so bad because I'm like, I used to be a teacher. I taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade Spanish. And so I know about different learning styles and neurodivergency. And I know, like, not everybody learns the same way. So when you word vomit all over somebody, like, calm the hell down, because these poor people, like, they're trying to keep up with you. And I'm like, but somebody told me actually today, one of my clients and friends on WhatsApp, she was like, you're just the goddess of making people feel safe with tech stuff. And I'm like, oh,
that's so sweet.
It was so sweet. And it's just, that's my goal, is I just want you to make, I want to make you feel safe. Like, you, and I say you, but like, most of my clients are creatives that have businesses. And if they had it their way, they wouldn't even charge. They just love helping people.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Right?
And I'm like, God, you just have so much just wonderful stuff to bring to the world. Like, I don't want this to hurt you. I want you to feel safe. And I want you to, like, I want you to get money so that you realize, like, this is a cool thing to do, is to own your own business. Yeah. And so I just, you know, about 10 minutes into every call, someone's like, oh my God, I just feel so much better. And I'm like, yeah.
I feel like you and I have very similar calls. Yeah. Do you record that? Because I actually tend to record them and send them the recording, because there's no way they're going to be able to take enough notes. Oh, I God, actually typically no would be like, don't even bother taking notes.
I'm like, just, it's okay. You're going to get the recording. It's going to be fine.
Just listen. Yeah. Well, and so, you know, and I think that that's really the key, right? Is that one is, it's not as complicated as we think it is. It's been made to be overcomplicated. And I think that that's why I found what you do so alluring, in that it's not just about, like, it's not about, oh, I have all these services that I'm offering you. Mm-hmm. It's more about, okay, this is your business and this is what you actually need to be doing.
Exactly.
So, okay. So I'm going to pull back a little bit, because I had a client once, and who, when I did these, and I'm going to ask the question differently. I'm going to tell you what happened with my client, and then I'm going to ask you a different, slightly different question. So the client I had, I basically went with her, and the goal was to help her get more time in her day, not so much to make more money or that kind of thing, right?
Love it.
She'd already figured out how to make money. She knew all of her shit. Her user journeys were great.
A+.
Her issue was really just doing too many things. Mm-hmm. So we sat, we met, and she ended up going down to like 5 hours a week from like 45 or something. Like, it was insane.
Bless her. Time she was, yes, girl.
It was fabulous, right? And she gets, you know, comes and talks to me and says, oh, you know, I said, hey, how are you doing? And she's like, well, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong? Are you, you know, she's like, well, I'm not working that much anymore. And I'm like, oh God. I was like, shit.
What a problem.
You know, you always assume you fucked up somehow. What did I do? And then I said, well, okay, well, hold on. I was like, how much are you making what you want? She's like, actually, I'm making twice what I was making before.
Yes.
I just feel like I should be working more.
No.
And I was like, no. I was like, that's conditioning. That's programming. That's the feeling like you should be doing something more. And so when I think about what you offer people, right? So we were talking about time, specifically related to, you know, I'm coming to you and I'm saying I need to spend $10,000 on a website. I'm going to spend, you know, $2,500 a month on a marketing person, like those, or Facebook ads. Everybody wants the Facebook ads. And I'm like, please don't spend any money on Facebook ads if your user journey, unless you're just going to spend money to send people and push them off a cliff.
Right.
What have you found in these conversations in terms of the financial? Because, like, if you're telling me I don't need to do these five or six things, what I'm hearing is that, wait a minute, I thought I was going to have to spend $25,000 over the next year, but I only need to spend whatever it is, depending on, you know, what service they end up going with you, or nothing, because they decide, oh, I don't need to do anything. What do you typically find is the results that you get on that kind of, where people have the thing, oh, I don't need to spend. What do they realize? How much money do they realize they don't need to actually be spending?
Well, it's funny. At my core, I'm so frugal. I was raised by financial parents, which is hilarious because I don't math. It's safer for people if I just don't math. And I was raised by two people in finance. And it's just like the biggest, most ironic story of my life. And then my mother got remarried to a guy in finance. And I'm like, God, just like, what is it with you number loving people? But, you know, at my core, I have to save a buck. And I, like, sometimes to my detriment, right? And but it's also a great thing for my clients because I don't want them overspending. It doesn't mean I don't charge my worth. I know my worth. But I actually ask them, and the first step to working with me is filling out an application. And one of my questions is like, give me a range. What are you making every month? And if it's less than $3,000, I'll have a strategy session with you, but you probably do not need my services yet. You just need my consulting.
Yeah.
Because I refuse for somebody to be making less than $3,000 a month. I refuse to give you my top premium website because you're not there yet. You're not there yet. And you're going to get there, but a top-notch website is not the thing that we're going to focus on first for you. So that's my first thing. And then the other thing is like, when you're ready and it's time to invest, I'm going to guide you to the best next step. If it's a website, then yes, I'm going to give you a kick-ass website. If it's, you know, working on your services and figuring out what those are first, I'm not a coach. My thing is tech. I work strategy in there. I'm going to refer you out to the many business coaches that I know that are going to get you there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered the question entirely. No. But the financial aspect is so hard because I told my bookkeeper, I love her. I told my bookkeeper, I said, Bridget, listen, my goal, not resolution, I won't do a resolution, but my goal for 2024 is that I am not going to get my debit card out and buy another online course.
Yeah.
$7, $17, $37. That's the sevens. They're like, hey.
All the sevens. Stuff. That Amy Porterfield talking about her damn sevens.
God damn it, Amy Porterfield and your freaking sevens, because that gets me. And so I will, you know, targeted ads, they'll get me and they'll be like, if you buy this Trello board template, your whole life will change. And so I'm like, yes, take my $17. And I buy so many of those and I immediately forward the receipt over to my bookkeeper. And so this poor woman, Bridget, I love you so much, honey. She'll just add it and add it and add it to QuickBooks. And at the end of the year, I'm like, God, I forgot I even bought this thing. I never used it.
Here's my question. Did you even look at it? You bought it. You got your dopamine hit. And then you're like, oh, I forgot.
I am ashamed to say. So I file it neatly. And it's got a tag for, is it social media or is it a Trello board? And then I would say like 6 out of 10, I actually got my money's worth because I used it. I'm not saying it's not worth the money. I'm saying I didn't freaking use it. So I told Bridget, I was like, I refuse to buy another one of these things. Like I call it professional development. It's like a hangover.
I have a long professional development list.
Oh.
But I told her I refuse to buy more until I've actually used all of the ones that I've already purchased. And we're talking like 5 years of purchases. So
that's a lot to go. Well, some of them, you know, you got to give yourself like 2 years because the 3 years before that, it's like technology evolves. Like.
And that's the thing is, what I really want to do is just take the time to weed through them and be like, what's relevant, what's not relevant. Listen to a little bit of the videos. We've also learned over the years, and I do courses and online memberships and evergreen products. I set these up for people and I say, you know, we've learned a lot since COVID. And we learned that at the beginning of COVID, if you purchased an hour long video with a worksheet, fine, you'd do it. But now give me a 5 minute video and an actionable step.
I don't even watch videos. I will watch. I'll look at the step by step, and then, or I'll watch the video at like 2x
speed. Yes, like, yeah, exactly. Yes. I know I went off on a wild tangent.
No, it's great. I actually we both have ADHD, so we're like all over the place. We were talking earlier. You were talking about sending people places. There was actually a flag. You said something, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is really good." And hold on, we'll come to what we're talking about. You, we were talking about. All right, go back to what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Okay, we were talking about you bring people in. You'll coach them. You'll guide them through. Oh, so the you mentioned that business doesn't have to be that hard, right? Running a business doesn't have to be. Oh, yeah. I know. Okay. There's two separate things I was talking about. First was it doesn't have to be that hard. And where I'm at now in my, I would call it my business, but what it really is my life mission. Things that I do that are work, that are just life mission stuff. Some makes me money, some doesn't. Right. But we'll call it all my business. I had an epiphany the other day after having spent a lot of time in email, in social media, and all of these places. I had this moment where I was sitting there and meditating, and I was like, you know what? I understand now how the things fit together and how I don't feel discomfort. I actually just feel like, oh, okay, I get it. And now I feel like, oh, I'm doing my podcast and I'm having so much fun doing my podcast. And when the time comes for me to write the email to the pot to do the thing, it's not like a giant, oh, yeah, right? Yep. Because I understand now what I'm doing. So it has actually become easier. And I wonder how much of that is, and this goes back to where your gift is, right? Because like when I was all high strung, it was so hard. And it, I mean, it makes sense because you're all like, eh, all the time, yeah. Right? Now I feel like everything is just easy. I wonder how much of what you were talking about when you say that, so you meet with these people, you do these strategy conversations. I feel like I've become business marinara sauce, so now I get it. But when somebody is first starting to work with you, they're just, you know, onions and tomatoes, yes, and basil and all of that in a bowl.
I'm so hungry and
now. They want to become the marinara, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's almost sort of what you do, is like you work with people to help them,
yes,
get comfortable with like almost like the simmering part of it, right?
I did this somatic exercise recently with a group of women. I was in a coaching program, and she was getting us to come into our core values and our mission, right? And we were really meditating on that, and we worked some body work into it. And so each one of us had to do a gesture with our bodies on how we feel, like our mission, just kind of some way to just demonstrate
mine is
our
this.
Mission.
Mine is Ooh. This.
And what
I,
is
I
that?
Actually have one. Mine is this.
I love that. What is that?
So this is, it's super, it's an explosion. It's like supernova. It's like life,
yes,
coming out.
Oh,
it's
I
like
love that.
Love. It's stuff is coming out from within.
Oh, I love
I'm
that.
Exploding
so here's
life
mine.
Everywhere, which is both gross and titillating, depending on how you think about it.
So mine is this.
How interesting.
And what it is it's balloons, and all the balloons floating are my creative clients, because you guys are all creatives, and I'm pulling you down to earth. And it's not in a bad way. It's yeah. not a bad way, but it's because when you have a creative that wants to take their creativity and make it into a business, this is really the first time that they start to feel really just gross and icky about their creativity. Because they're seeing everybody have these successful businesses and they're like, well, I know I have it in me. I have the creative part, but now I got to do all this other shit. And so I'm like, it's okay. I'm just going to pull your balloons down and we're in it. I'm just going to, it's going to be, I'm going to hold on to you and it's going to be okay. We're going to figure this out. So that was my somatic body work. But isn't that fun?
I love that. And here's, you know what you're, so I read this book and this actually was a huge game changer for me, called Rocket Fuel. Have you read that?
I've heard of this. Well, it works perfectly with your somatic thing.
It
there.
Is perfect. So here's the thing about Rocket Fuel. Okay. You can read an article about it and get what you need. Don't read the whole book. I'm just going to just read the article.
That's how I got through high school. Come on. Cliff Notes.
So, okay. So when I was in high school, we didn't have the internet, nor did we have Cliff right. Notes. So I had to actually read all the fucking books. Okay. So, this is a sorrow of my life. I actually had to read Catcher in the Rye, which I really hated that book. But at any rate,
wasn't one of my favorites. No,
is it one of your favorites?
No, not okay. one of my favorites. No.
So, it's really, it talks about the two different roles that are necessary in any business and how, as you start to scale up, you run into a challenge. So it's interesting that you put that cap of 3,000 where you said, okay, at 3,000, you don't need me. You need a strategy call to figure out what are your steps. And then, at that point, when you scale to a certain point, you need two separate people, and you need the integrator and you need the visionary.
Yes.
And the visionary is the creative person who is up here doing all the woo, right? And then the integrator is the person who does the tactical step-by-step stuff, operationalizing the vision, because, and he talks about it in the book, you cannot move from this to this.
Yes.
Without feeling, we all know what it feels like. It's discomfort. Exactly. It feels like you're stuck. It actually is not healthy. It's not good. So you need those two people.
And this is funny, because I do use the term integrator in my marketing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Check out an article about Rocket Fuel.
Oh, I love this.
And so you are like that necessary step. Yes. And so for me, I got to the point where I realized I wanted to do it all on my own. Like, not because I wanted to do everything myself, but because the vision that I had and the person that I am makes it so that I actually don't like working with other people. I figured that out about myself. But that meant I could only scale to a certain point.
That's
or
right.
I could only do something. Like, when you make a decision not to hire somebody,
that's right.
You are deciding not to scale to a
you're
certain level.
Or you're just plateauing. That's it.
And that's
for you.
Fine if that's what you want.
That works.
But if you're trying to grow and also not get somebody like Liz, then you have two competing priorities and you're always going to feel attention. You're never going to see the success because those are at odds with each other inherently, right? So you've got to know.
It's funny too, because the way that I do my business is, because I'm a business owner at the end of the day, I just kind of think to myself, what do I need? And then I go and I give that to other people. And it got to the point about, 3 years ago, I had like 25 clients and it was just me. And I'm like, you.
Oh, idiot. Jesus.
I'm like, you're an idiot. It's like the cobbler's son has no shoes. I'm sitting here preaching to people, delegate, delegate, delegate. And I'm not, I'm here working. During COVID, I was working 16, 18 hour days. I actually had to go out and invest in a really fancy office chair because I have chronic pain and my body just sitting that much.
Oh God.
Oh my God. Thank God chiropractor was open during COVID because it was like, oh my God, this is literally the worst possible thing that I could have been doing to my body. And, so, you know, it's just, like you said, you're going to plateau if you're not. If you think you can do it all yourself, I promise you that you will quickly burn out. And that's where you're going to start saying, this is too hard. And that's where you're going to start saying, I'm not cut out for this. And the shoulding and the shoulding and the shoulding and the, and those are the people that I want to get the most. Cause I'm like, guys, I am right here. And it's so funny because I have recurring clients. I have clients that I'll do a project for them. They'll go on their merry way. They'll come back 6 months later. Can we do this now? Yes, we will. 3 years later, I'll have people call me and they'll be like, hey, so remember that thing you said not to do? I did it.
I did that thing.
I said, I'll do it myself. And now I'm cranky and I'm a bitch on wheels and I hate everything. And I just woke up this morning and I said, why didn't I just call Liz? Why didn't I just call Liz? And that's what ends up happening is because, you know, we all... entrepreneur, solopreneur, we get this idea in our head that like, it's all me and I'm going to make this work. And it's like, you don't actually have to do that. Like,
and that's the thing, right? You don't have to do it all yourself. Like, and I think that's really important, right? Because I earlier said that, yeah, I kind of do this stuff, but this is what I did for a living for like 10, 15 years. I really enjoyed it. And I found that I was irritated by handing things off to other people because nobody was doing the things. Like I had a vision, right? And I realized that what I was trying to do was build a business when what I was actually trying to do, like what I wanted to do in my soul, was be creative and just share that with the world, right? And so I realized there's this idea. I'm curious to know what you think about this. I got caught up in this idea that you need to monetize everything that you're good at.
This is my toxic trait. This is my
toxic trait. To monetize everything that you're good at?
Yeah. Well, because I surround myself with creatives.
Yeah.
So for example, my husband went viral on TikTok.
Nice.
And he has a following of like 89,000 people. It's a real number. And I'm like, babe, people want to hear what you have to say. Do you know how many people want that?
Oh, no. I know what you did.
And so I was like, we must monetize.
I've done this.
And this is my superpower. And I'm like, we will monetize this. And so I built him a website. And I like set him all up with email marketing. And
did he
want
to monetize?
No, absolutely not. Did that matter? Come on.
No.
Absolutely not. This is me. And also, too, like when in our 20s, before I even became an entrepreneur, I was a teacher. In our 20s, I just recognized what an amazing guitarist and singer and songwriter he was. And then my best friend moved in with us, and he also is an amazing singer and guitar player. And I was like, you guys must form a band, and I will be your manager. And we will get all the gigs in Boston, and everyone will love us. And
oh, my God, it'll be amazing. Sounds fabulous. You guys should start, you get someone to sign you on. And
oh,
then,
my
like,
God. And I wasn't even, like, expecting, like, grandeur, right? I wasn't like, you're not the next Rolling Stones. But, like, I was like, this is great. What, right. And so I'm like, this is great pocket money. You guys are going to gig. And I think they did like 5 gigs and they're like, we're all set. And I'm like, no. So yes, please tell me more about my toxic trait of monetizing.
Yeah, let me tell you more about, I'm Dr. Konicki. Let's say hello and welcome our caller today.
You're my toxic trait.
Her toxic trait. So but the truth is like, I think there's a couple things. One is there's a capitalist conditioning that we all have, which I'm working on. So this year, you know, we were talking earlier about money. part of what my mission is this year is to, so I, one of my causes that I feel very, like I feel very strongly about is Loving Black Single Mothers, run by Toy Smith. Mm. And so my goal is to increase how much I send to her organization every month by the end of the year. And the way that I'm getting there is by reducing the other things, because I want to be spending my money in alignment with my life mission.
You're awesome.
Now, the secret, I think, is that you have to trust that you're good at making money, right? Mm-hmm. Any person has to trust it. And I am very good at making money. I anticipate, are also very good at making money. You just have that mind that kind of just, you may not be good with numbers, but you can see,
I'm
not good with numbers either. But I can see how the river of commerce works and how all the things fit together. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's what we should do, right? And not everything's going to work, but some of the things that work make me millions of dollars and some of the things don't. It just, right?
Right.
But if I don't believe that I can make money doing anything, then I'm not going to feel free to say no to any idea, because every idea that pops up is going to be the last, right? So the first thing was that. So it took me about a year, lots of coaching, to actually be able to say I'm really good at making money without feeling discomfort. Like I just
That makes me want to cry a little. Yeah.
But it's a lot of work. So much work. Saw so many coaches, therapists, you name it, to like work through that shit, right? But then on the other side of that, it becomes, okay, what do I get joy out of, right? Because I'm not on this planet to be successful. I'm on this planet to live a satisfied and fulfilled life and help other people to do that.
Amen.
And for me, I realized that trying to monetize my creativity was draining all the joy out of it. And so I was like, and I really wanted to do the strategy work for free.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. Because the people who need my strategy work are the people who typically don't have the funds to be able to invest in my strategy work. So I'm like, I need to rethink all of this. So I actually shut everything down and really thought to myself, what do I actually want to do to make money? And I actually realized it had nothing to do with my creativity. It was something that I had actually done years ago that I'm very good at, is research administration.
Oh, okay.
So I went back into research administration as a consultant, ramped that up, making about 400 grand a year. Life's good. And then I was like, all right, now I'm just going to take the time that I actually ended up realizing after that I wanted to learn. I went back to corporate because I wanted to implement a training system within corporate America while also dealing with all of the pressures that people deal with in corporate. Because like, it's really easy for me to say, do this. But like, there are a lot of pressures happening in corporate America that prevent people from taking that action.
Yep.
So I went back to that. So I'm doing that right now for another, maybe like 6 to 8 months or something. Then I'll do something else. But because when you realize you can make money doing anything, it doesn't matter. You're just like, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do
this. It's almost a sickness. It's an addiction. True, true.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah. And that is that was my sickness. My toxic trait was I can make money doing anything. So everything I saw, I felt compelled. I had to make money doing. So form a band. Oh my God, I'm an artist. Let's sell my artwork. Oh my God, you know what? I'm a coach. Okay, we'll do that. I'm going to sell these templates. And I burned myself out just doing that. So I got really clear on what I really wanted to do. And now I say no to anything that is outside of like my scope.
Love that.
And like I have a very rigid scope for myself.
So much I want to say. So first you touched on like money mindset and almost a scarcity mindset.
Mm-hmm.
One of my dearest clients in the world is Lynn Twist from The Soul of Money. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book.
Oh my God.
She's also
the name is amazing.
Oh, she's just, amazing. So she talks about money mindset and scarcity a lot. And, it's funny. I'm a very practical, very logistical, very down-to-earth person. I would not call myself a creative. And then my creative clients immediately are like, you're a liar. You're so creative. Look at what you do. And I'm like,
I was like, I'm going to let you go with that. I don't get to tell you what you are, but okay.
Right. So again, but it's a lot of coaching, right? To kind of stop making that my narrative.
Yeah.
And to just finally admit like you're a goddamn creative and like just deal with it. And so it's, so all of my creative clients, I'm just like, oh my God, I surround myself with coaches. So at some points I can get a little coached out and I'm just like, money mindset.
I know. Oh my God, I'm so done working on my character. I'm over it.
I'm like, you know, you just get to a point. It's like sometimes when I was doing, I'm not doing therapy currently, but when I did do therapy, I was like, God, if I talk about my childhood traumas one more time, I'm gonna scream. It's like, you get to a point where you're like, I just cannot keep working on the same thing. And sometimes I get like that with my coach clients. I love them, but it's like, I need to take a step back for me, that money mindset and scarcity thing. And I think actually that you pointed out my next step in this work, which is like, stop monetizing everything. People are not piggy banks. They're just creative people.
That's the truth, right? People aren't piggy banks, right? That's yeah. one thing, right? And the other thing is actually it is an addiction, right? Because totally if you are good at making money,
yeah,
money gives you dopamine hits.
Yes.
You're neurodivergent, you're chasing dopamine hits. It's you're and, you set know, up for this.
And I just like I applaud my husband because he was just like, babe, that's not me. If I did coach people, I don't want to take money for it. And I'm like, you asshole. But yeah, no, I get that. And I love you for it. So yeah, it's hard. It's a hard thing to break. But I will say I've created the perfect business because anybody who does want to make money, they come to me and I'm like, yes, feed
right.
the addiction.
Like, that's the thing, right? That's the key.
This is my loophole.
Well, that's the key, right? Get excited by other people's money. you said something shit. You were talking about everything. I forgot. You said something and I was like, oh, I've got a great response, but then I totally lost it.
That would be the name of my autobiography is you said something and I don't remember.
And then I forgot. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, me too. It's like we were talking about dopamine hits, chasing after it, making money. No, it was before that. Husband, money mindset. Oh, you were saying how you were not a creative. I want to actually share something with you. So I, up until about 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, I used to say I have the soul of an artist, but ooh. None of the talent. And I said that my whole life. I used to paint until I was about 16 or 17. And then after that, I stopped and I've dabbled in things, but I have never felt like an artist.
Well, it's because the world got you, right?
The world got me. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Like, I remember when the world got me. It got me in Nepal. That was the end. And so when the world got me in Nepal, I started saying I have the soul of an artist, but no talent. When I see what I make now, I know I have talent. Like, I'm like, holy shit, I have a lot of fucking talent. Like, I'm very, very talented. I have a vision. But I had to change the story, right? Mm. And so one of the things that my wife you're all coached out. You're like, shut the fuck up, Vanessa. But seriously, my wife and my sister and I have been talking a lot about the story lately is like, anytime something happens, we immediately, myself too, we just default to this other story. It's the bad story, whatever the narrative is. And one of the things that we've all been saying to each other to an annoying level at this stage is change the story, right?
Yes.
And it's great when you're the one on this end saying, hey, listen, change the story. You're a creative. When you're the one on the other end hearing change the story, you're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You can change your goddamn story.
100%. Don't tell me what to do. And I'm a natural rebel, so I'm like, fuck that.
I know, right? Me too. Like, so it's like, I'm just like, well, okay.
So you want me to do the opposite of what you said? I'll do the opposite of what you said.
I don't care if it destroys my life.
This is why I laughed when you said The Catcher in the Rye. And I was like, oh, was it required reading in high school? I didn't read it.
Yeah, no, it was required. And so what's funny, actually, I failed almost everything in high school. I did really badly in high school. And I think that actually that is the challenge that a lot of our clientele really run into is that these are typically creative people who were made to feel stupid in school, right? And you're overcoming that side of it as well.
I have just such a soapbox on higher education in the United States and how we push children. Cause a lot, I mean, like if you think about I think about my daughter is born in September. And so when she goes to college, she'll be going at 17 and she'll turn 18 very, very freshly in college. She'll be in there for a month and then she'll turn 18. Fine. But I'm like, God, a 17-year-old doesn't have an 18-year-old, 22-year-old doesn't have a freaking clue. Okay. And so we put so much pressure on these children. Cause I mean, like, legally, physically, are they children? No, but
they're still children. They're still children. Dude, did you know that if you're neurodivergent, your brain doesn't start fully forming until you're like 34?
Correct.
So I always said, I don't think I finished adolescence until I was in my 30s.
And then there's the male-female thing. And I think like a male brain doesn't stop maturing until like significantly later than a female. Anyway, and yes to all of this. And so I have this giant soapbox that I love to climb on probably about like every other month or so. And
it's a good soapbox.
It is. And I get really upset because I know there's somebody in my life who shits all over himself constantly because he couldn't crack it in college. I just couldn't do it. He's tried multiple times. And he just kept flunking out. And I want to hug him and squeeze him and be like, babe, it's fine. Like, just stop it. Because we're not all cut out for college. And also, we're not all cut out for trade school. Because that used to be the thing, right? Like,
right, either go college to college or trade school.
Or go to trade school. And these are your choices.
I don't actually think you need to do any of those things. Like, now, that's the story. Like, that's the story again, yeah. Right? So my big thing, my heart on right now is for the fact that I feel like we've all been conditioned by the four 100%. Horsemen of 100%. Our, which is capitalism and consumerism, colonialism and racism.
Oh, God.
Shit. I have, like, there's something in the patriarchy. And
are you writing a book? You really should.
I am. I'm writing a book. I'm writing it right now. And, but those things come together, and we write the story from that framework, right? And so the story that we've all been told is go to college, do the trade school. If you don't do that,
you're fucked.
You are stupid.
You're done.
You're done. Your life is over. And there is something wrong with you, right? Like, and so I'm making a judgment on you as a person.
And it hurts me so much because there is, and I was raised in that mentality. My mom, her entire career was in a college. She was a vice president. And I get it. And like, education is important. I'm not shitting on education. I'm shitting on this push, this belief that you have to do that because it is what society says you have to do. We have a family friend. She has been a waitress her entire life. Her entire life, from teenage to she is in her late 60s. And she has figured out, I don't want to do anything else. I have no desire. I like knowing that I clock in for my shift and I clock out of my shift, and it's no brain power is extended outside of this shift. It is rote memory. I pour the drinks, I serve the drinks, I pick up the food, I give the food, and I make money doing it, and I am fine. My family is fine. I have other things outside of waitressing that complete me as a human being, and I'm just like, fuck yes.
Yes, more I of love this. That. That is the, that's more the message.
And I just feel terrible for, I mean, like, I also shed all over myself because I'm like, you idiot, you worked your entire life since fourth grade to be a Spanish teacher. That was your path. And you did it. You got a master's in Spanish education and you taught for 10 years. You had a decade as a teacher, a profession, a career. People martyrized me. Like, I'd be like, on a vacation, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a Spanish teacher. Oh, my God. Always. Oh, my God, you're a teacher. Bless you. You're amazing. Bless me now. I have a really good living that I'm making over here. Bless me now as a business and tech strategist and the owner of my own company. Bless me now. And it's, I want to write a book one day on the martyrdom of teachers because it, and so like to this day, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, dipshit, like, you don't know where your next money is coming from. If you lose all your clients, where's your money? Whereas with teaching, you had a whole union behind you.
That's an illusion. You aren't in. Like, right. That's just the story we tell ourselves,
and that is
right?
The story.
Like, you really are not ever secure. Yep. We just say that we are.
And it made me miserable. I loved my kids. I loved my students. I still, like, they're 26 now and they're on Facebook. Huh. Like, Senora Augusta, I love you. I'm like, I love you too, babe. What's up, Jonalise? But, like, it made me miserable. It made me miserable because there's just so many things in it, which is an entirely different podcast. But leaving teaching was the hardest thing I've ever done because there were so many stories coming at me. Like, you've thrown away your entire career. You've thrown away your education.
What are you going to do with this master's that you spent all this money on?
Yeah. You're never going to amount to anything. Because you're not using that master's and you're not using that undergrad. You're not using your 10 years of experience. You think you're going to make some money? What are you going to do when the next
client
doesn't
come?
Your
cute little business? That's adorable.
You drained your retirement account so that you could live while you're figuring this shit out? Way to go. Now you don't have any retirement, Liz. Nice job. But this is the money mindset that I had to grow out of.
Yeah.
My next dollar.
I did too. Everything you're talking about, I had to grow out of it.
Like, my next dollar is where I want my next dollar to be. I'll go call up an old client and be like, hey, how about that website? Do you need another strategy call? My next dollar is just an email away.
And well, it's and not the key guaranteed. Though is right now, if you look at your money, you have clients right now. So your next dollar right now is probably going into like 6 months. So when you talk about your next dollar, what it's you're like really talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the story, right? Yeah. You're telling the story as if you have no money today.
Yeah. And that, because that's what we do to ourselves. Meanwhile, I have clients on like year long contracts. Are you kidding me? I've got money.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, your next dollar is already.
You're like, I know your client.
It's like, what are you talking about?
And but this is what we do.
That's why I'm so important, because we immediately jump to that story and we accept that story is true.
Yeah.
And unless you're having a conversation with someone who's going to call you out on it, you're just going to go on that narrative. Okay, hold on. We are now at 12:50 and I realized, so earlier on I said, shit.
All right. So five episodes. We're going for five episodes here.
Well, we need a second podcast now. So the second podcast that we need is actually, it's going to be born from this one, which is going to be about, Liz, I'm telling you this now, is going to be about when you decide to leave, right? Because I think this is a really powerful conversation. Like when you are making that decision, because I've made that decision to leave, go back, right? Yes. Whatever. I'd love to be able to talk about that a little more, because there's people I know who want to jump ship and start their own consulting business.
Oh my God, do it. Jump.
Just do it, guys. My answer is just do it. Do not even, the answer is yes.
Do it.
But if you want to hear more about it, Liz and I'll do another podcast.
Absolutely.
The answer is still yes.
Do you know, I get on Zoom calls. I get on Zoom calls with teachers just to convince them to leave teaching. It's so fun.
That's, well, ultimately, there's a lot of industries people need to just leave. And the reason why they need to leave is they've been doing it for so long that they are being mistreated so badly, they cannot see how they deserve more, and that, but like a lot of times they won't leave because they feel like people are reliant on them. And
yes.
It's like,
and
no,
this is our
you're
episode.
Showing them the yes. strength. Oh my God. See,
I'm
no,
so
we can't
excited.
We can't talk about that. Okay. So guys, Liz is going to come back.
Yes.
But in the meantime, Liz, everybody hearing you is going to be like, oh my God, you're going to help me save time, save money.
Absolutely.
Save all the things. How do they find you?
Yes.
Because I don't want to just send them off to the ether. Where do they find you?
I love it. Simplify.me. Nice. And because I care about the customer journey, every single button is going to point you to where I want you. So just click a button.
It's anyone. A really good user journey. In fact, when I went to her website, I said, when we met, one of the things I said was, your user journey is amazing. And do you know what she said? I'm just going to say this. She said, you know, I was actually thinking about updating my website and changing everything around because I think it's terrible. And I'm like,
no. Don't do it.
Do not do this. You are falling into the trap that your clients fall into. I'm glad to see that you kept the website the same, because
yes,
it's very good and your user journey is spot on.
Thank you. But yeah, click a button and you'll talk to me.
Fabulous. Love it. Love it. All right, Liz, thank you so much for coming. We will set something else up, guys. You will hear from her again. Love Have it. A wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.